Peter jumped out of the boat again. You would think that he learned his lesson the previous time when he jumped out of the boat, but he jumped out again. And if you read that gospel account, it says they weren't far from land. And I can promise you that he cannot swim faster than a boat would go to land. He won't be faster. The quickest way to get to land would be by boat. And what did he do? He jumped out of the boat. I bet you the boat beat him to the beach. But he jumped out once again. Pretty impulsive. Not the wisest thing to do. It seems like Peter repeats the same mistakes. Yet he's called the prototype. And we are almost used to the idea of Peter doing these dumb things. Things that sometimes frustrated Jesus. Things that moved Jesus to ask Peter, "Are you sure you love me?" 3 times. So how did it happen then that he was the guy left in charge to lead the church? He almost broke the church. So how did he become the prototype? Does the New Testament scholars have it wrong? Should they not call Peter the prototype disciple? I've got the gospel writers wrong when they call him the leader amongst the disciples. How did he become the disciple or the disciple par excellence that we look up to? And how over the centuries of the church's existence that we subscribe to the idea of Peter being the disciple we all aspire to be? Come to think of it, looking at all the dumb things that he actually did, that Peter did. It is probably Peter that chased away the little children that came to Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us who it was, but looking at all these dumb things that he did, I would bet some money that it could have been Peter. I can see him doing this. Chasing the kids away. Looking at his track record, it could have been Peter. So how did it happen that Peter is the prototype disciple? We don't read similar things about John. Doing all these dumb things. John always knew his place. He's called the disciple Jesus loved 6 times in the Gospels. It is this disciple who, while reclining beside Jesus at the Last Supper, asked Jesus who it is that will betray him. Nobody else asked him. It was John that asked him, "Who would betray you?" It's like, see, he shows concern. Peter also shows concern, but cutting off a guy's ear. This guy looks more mature to me. Remember, they were young guys. Who is it that would betray you? Knowing who it is might lead to some positive outcomes, preventing that guy from doing it. Later at the crucifixion, Jesus tells his mother, "Woman, here is your son," pointing at John. And to the beloved disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." Why didn't he trust his mother's care to Peter? When Mary Magdalene discovered the empty tomb, she ran to tell the beloved disciple, John, and Peter about this. And in the Gospel of John, we read that these two men rushed to the tomb, and the beloved disciple was the first to reach the tomb. John got there first. Then Peter went in, but John got there first. Did Peter just follow behind him or went there? Why was John there first? Was he more concerned? Why didn't Jesus rather leave John in charge of his legacy, of the church? We don't read anywhere that John almost wrecked the church. But Peter did. So why Peter? Or are we missing something? Are we missing something as to the reason why Peter was left in charge? Maybe we are missing Peter's total commitment to Jesus. His unfiltered Just a total commitment to Jesus. A commitment that sometimes prevents him from thinking things through before he acts. We know from the account where we tried to walk on water that Peter got out of the boat because he wanted to be like Jesus. He saw Jesus doing it, and he just wanted to do what Jesus did, because he's Jesus' disciple. He didn't think it through. He's just committed to being a little Jesus, to be at the end of his apprenticeship, be like Jesus. He's just committed to that. So whatever needs to be done to become like Jesus, he'll do that. So this dumb thing of jumping out of a perfectly good boat just shows his total commitment to Jesus. When he cuts off somebody's ear, we read in the Bible that it was one division of soldiers. Now, a division can be anything from 200 to 600 soldiers. So take it at the very least 200 soldiers. It was 200 against 12, Jesus and 11 disciples. 200 against 12. And the only person that tried to do anything was Peter. Even though he tried to do something against 200 armed men, he was the only one that tried something. He just decided, not tonight, not my Lord, over my dead body. And just rushed towards this guy and cut off his ear. Not a wise thing to do, but showing extreme commitment to Jesus. Storming down on 200 armed men really does show your commitment to the person you are trying to protect. His biggest blunder that we remember him for, denying Jesus 3 times. We have to remember at that time, in the courtyard of the high priest's house, he was the only disciple that went that far. All the other disciples ran away at the time of the arrest. They went into hiding. Peter's the only one that went there. Forget about him denying Jesus for a while. Now, imagine this story. Imagine the gospel source written like this. And at the time of Jesus' trial, Peter found himself in the inner courtyards of the high priest's house, within hearing range of them questioning Jesus. And Peter was extremely scared, because there were soldiers everywhere and enemies of Jesus. And without the denying part of the story, going into the crucifixion and stuff, we would remember Peter for being brave, because he went into the inner courtyard of the high priest's house. We would have thought of Peter being brave, and all the other disciples ran away. They went into hiding. Peter went into the courtyard. He went inside. We would have remembered Peter for being brave, but then he denied Jesus, and now we remember him for that. He just got scared, but he was extremely committed to Jesus, so much so that he went in there. Chances are pretty good that as he went in there, people could have recognized him already. They could have killed him. They could have arrested him. So going there showed his extreme commitment. Sitting there next to the fire in the courtyard of the high priest's house, it shows his commitment to Jesus. He was the only one there. Looking at the time when he threatened to prevent Jesus from dying on the cross, when Jesus called him Satan. Now, they knew, Jesus told them that he would die and rise again. But they never really fully believed it. Remember, after his death on the cross, they ran away. They went into hiding. They thought it was over and done for. If they really expected Jesus to rise again, they would have stand next to the cross and waited for him to rise. They would have stand in front of his grave and wait for him to come out. They never really, really believed that it would happen. They knew that Jesus taught that, but they never really believed that it would happen. Like, physically, in that way. And Peter is trying to extend the time that he can spend with Jesus. Because Jesus told him, I need to die. That's pretty much the extent of what Peter heard. And he said, but never, Lord. You cannot die yet. It's the same type of thing feelings we would have for somebody that we love and say, I have to die pretty soon. No, you cannot. Peter was trying to save the Lord's life. Not wise, thinking it through. I mean, he needed to die for us to be saved. So preventing him from dying on the cross is bad news for us. But he's trying to save his Lord's life. He's so committed to Jesus that he'll do anything to try and save his life. By the time he jumped out of the boat, it was the dumbest thing to do. The boat is quicker to get to the beach. But he's just so committed to Jesus. He just wanted to get there. He didn't think it through. He just jumped out and went off. Probably when the boat went past, he said, should have stayed on the boat. But he didn't think it through. He just wanted to get to Jesus. He's just so committed to Jesus. He wanted to get to him now. There's Jesus. I want to go there. And I want to do something. I cannot just sit on the boat and wait to get there. I want to do something. And he jumped out of the boat. The Antioch incident. Again, Peter is doing something very unwise. Something with potentially the worst imaginable consequences for the church. And again, he's doing this very dumb thing. But he's doing it out of his total commitment to Jesus and his church. He's trying to be all he can be like these guys, these Gentiles that he's visiting in the church. He don't want them to feel humiliated or embarrassed about anything or feel strange or weird. So he just fully participates in everything they do. Their style of worship, their meals. And then when his church folks come, for whom he feels the same thing, he don't want to offend them. So he's trying to eat with them and be like them. And man, the poor guy cannot win. He's so totally committed to Jesus and his church. Now, luckily, this problem was solved at the Jerusalem conference. But we see in Paul's life, he's got this circle of Paul's life, Peter's life, where he every so often does this terrible, dumb things. But it is born from a total commitment to Jesus. And there was consequences to these things that he did. There was consequences. Jesus rebuked him. Jesus reprimanded him. And I think it should be terrible, should have been terrible for Peter. When the one that you are so committed to is the one that reprimands you and tell you, you are a stumbling block for me. You are like Satan to me. Jesus, after Peter's walking on the water and he started to drown, Jesus called him, "Ye of little faith." It would have been terrible for Peter to hear those words from Jesus. Oh, ye of little faith. So there is consequences. There are consequences to doing these dumb things that Peter did. That he did because of his total commitment. But they are temporal, immediate consequences. He got reprimanded and it was over and done with. But look at the long-term consequences of Peter's commitment. Jesus recognized his commitment. His utter commitment to him and his church, his legacy. So much so that Jesus leaves Peter in charge of his church. So much so that Jesus calls him the rock on which I would build my church. Jesus told him three times, I trust my flock into your care. That's the long-term consequences of Peter's utter commitment. He had short-term temporal consequences because of the dumb things he did because of his commitment. But the long-term consequences were good. And that is why we present Peter as a prototype disciple. He's so human. He's so committed. He does dumb things like we do, but it's because of his commitment, because of his passion for Jesus. In Proverbs 16, we read that all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. The Lord saw his heart. The Lord saw his motives. God saw what lied behind all the dumb things that Peter did. Why he did this. Please don't miss this. He had his consequences for the dumb things he did. But Jesus saw his motives behind it. And the long-term consequences were very rewarding. So it seems like the preferential attribute, the favorable quality of a disciple, the one that Jesus values most, is commitment. It's not faith or following Jesus. That's the inclusive criteria to become a disciple. But if you are a disciple, the value that, or the attribute that Jesus values most seems to be an utter commitment. And Peter did a lot of things, good things and dumb things. But he did all of them because of his commitment to Jesus. We are so often quite afraid to do things in the church, to do things in God's kingdom. Because we are scared we're going to do it in the wrong way. We are scared of the criticism. We don't want to pray in front of people. We don't know how to pray. We're going to say the wrong things. And we don't want to tell people about Jesus because we're going to tell them in the wrong way. And then they'll have the wrong theology. And we don't want to do things in God's kingdom because we'll do it in the wrong way. And then there will be repercussions. It seems that if we look at the life of Peter, it seems that God still rewards him for trying to do the good things, even though he doesn't always do them perfectly. And it seems that the unnegotiable thing about discipleship, we see it in Peter's life, is commitment. And we might carry the consequences of doing unwise things, because we are so committed to Jesus. But motives are weighed by the Lord. And that is what he rewards. Our motives and our commitment. And that is how Peter ended up to be the prototype disciple. Because he's so human. He screws up. But he's so committed to Jesus. And he got rewarded. We shouldn't be scared to act on our commitment to Jesus. Even if it's not going to be the perfect act, God will still reward it because he's looking at our motives behind it all. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that we got to spend time on the life of Peter, looking into what it takes to be such a good disciple of yours that you would entrust your whole legacy to him. And in that, we got the chance to maybe recalibrate our lives to look more and more like Peter.